Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
G'day everyone, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank. This is a sportsethos.com presentation at Ethos Pelicans on Twitter, at Lyle Swithenbank. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts, all that fun stuff, but we'll get through the administrative stuff because I am joined by the fantastic, you'll know him from Spaces, you'll know him from, well, Boot Crew, one of the credentialed media members, Jarrett Reed, aka Five. Jarrett, how you going, mate?
I'm going all right. I guess that's the proper way to answer that. But yeah, man, I'm all right. It's working out.
Yeah. So it's first year on the beat for you this year, isn't it? And how have you found it? You recently did an article about Dyson Daniels, but talked about your experience heading into the media room. Can you talk about how that went so far?
It's been a cool first year. I just talk about the journey, just pretty much how to get there, right? I was just talking on Twitter one day, got into the spaces with Chris. I didn't know initially Chris gonna shout out the app and where, like, hey, I want you to come on the pod. I'm like, oh, all right, well, joined the pod one day, just talking pills, talking basketball. Justin from Propel's talk was like, hey, why don't you just come on full time? It's like, all right. And then that just snowballed. And what we see today is, you know, me being a credentialed media member, getting in these practices and the games and learning about the organization in a different way and seeing a little bit of the things behind the scenes.
And how have you found the transition from fan and, you know, we're all couch analysts from home to full-time media member?
Wow, that is the hardest part. That is legit the hardest part. If I was doing this for another team, it would make sense. But now it's like when I'm watching the games from the media standpoint, I can't cheer, right? I can't get mad. I can't make these loud bursts when Zion goes and dunks on somebody or Trey Murphy puts somebody in a body bag. I got to simmer myself down to, all right, just be calm, watch the game, judge it as it is. But I mean, it's been a cool process, you know, just talk, even having these conversations with some of the players on the team, which is pretty cool, right? And being able to ask some, you know, questions to get a little bit out of them that, you know, may not ask on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's must be an awesome experience, but I can understand. I mean, I think I would personally struggle because I carry on a bit even in front of the TV. So I can imagine sitting there and Zion dunks the ball and everyone's going ballistic and you're like, oh yes, just write some notes. Oh, very good.
Yeah. Halfway through the second quarter, Zion posterizes someone. I mean, I don't know how you write that to make it non-exciting, but to hold that within myself is really the hardest part.
I could imagine. And I mean, I suppose to segue, how about these Pelicans? I mean, what a start. Second in the West, outright second now. Big game against the Detroit Pistons coming up. Then we head into this like weird little weekend, like the petty weekend against the Suns and the Utah Jazz. And we're coming at their necks. But, you know, how have you found this first, what are we at, 25 games? I mean, we've been pretty good, I think.
Yeah, I think we're learning how to play basketball. I mean, not for the, you know, these professional basketball. I'm not saying they don't know how to play basketball. I'm saying we're learning how to play. Well, the team's learning how to play. So you got to, you know, separate myself from the team, right? Not being a fan. The team's learning how to be a better basketball team with their minds. They're learning different ways to win and play within each other. I think a great part about it is some of the injuries have actually allowed you to grow a little bit. Right? You know, dicing minutes is huge for his progression and the team's progression. Now you can see like, oh wow, we can play him in different spots. Zion, we all knew about what Zion was, but to see it at this Zion we thought we were going to see when he came out, Duke, this is what, you know, that parade of people showing up, you know, witness getting the first pick, and this is what we thought we were going to see, albeit, you know, year 4 or 5 for him. Cool. But I'm perfectly waiting. I mean, Sixers waited on Joel Embiid for a ton of years, and nobody really complained about that. So what we're seeing out of him is just his next step in progression. I think the next progression for the, you know, the coaching staff, some people think it's like a bad thing to not have the same. If you're a coach, you're like, you kind of enjoy it because now you play with things as you being able to and still get wins out of it.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's been the big change in terms of. I understand what you meant, like learning to play basketball, I guess, but it's learning to play the system, it's learning to play together. There's a number of factors that come into, I suppose, assimilating someone like Zion into a team that was, you know, much hyped after that miraculous playoff run at the end of last year. I think the big shift for me is that we've gone from being the hunter to the hunted. And when that happens, expectations come, and we saw a few games that I think everyone agrees we let slip, or the Pelicans let slip. The Pelicans when they lose, but they're us when we win, if you hadn't gathered. You know, that I think for me has been a big shift. Willie Green working out how to use Zion. You know, first probably 10 games, it was you're in the post, you just post up, and then. Now he's on the move downhill with the ball in his hands, 23% potential assists the other day against the Spurs. Ooh, I mean, and that's we're doing this without Brandon Ingram and without Herb Jones. I think that's been the big, I suppose, surprise is that you're beating good teams at three-quarter strength. So as we go forward, hopefully. It doesn't turn into too much of a learning experience adding BI and Herb back in, because I know you add pieces back, everyone then needs to adjust. We've seen that with CJ still trying to adjust. I suppose speaking of CJ, he was pretty sick from all reports. He's still working his way back. Do you think he's gonna get this rust off and get his legs back under him?
Say is a professional, like the ultimate professional, and you just have to give time. I mean, he was sick with, in a sense as if it's past, but no, it's still here. Tatum talked about how it took him almost a year and some. He was on a breather, like an inhaler, for all 3 months, just playing, just trying to get back in shape. His CJ will be fine. I mean, in a new city. You know, New Orleans is one of those places the weather changes all the time. Loud. That last week we had 2 cold days that were for us, cold days that were in the 50s, 40s, and then the next days we're back in the 80s. Like, you know, for somebody who was living in Portland where the weather is probably more consistent, I mean, you're probably allowed to run, but more consistent. Your kid, your wife, you're stuck into a city like this, and now you're traveling. Man, that's something on a body that wasn't used to it. You gotta give him some time. I mean, CJ is, you know, ultimate professional. I think he'll bounce back than we think.
It's good to hear because, you know, we can see even the frustration in his face that he knows that the shots that he's taking are still shots that he would make. And we've seen him make them, and you can see he's still working his way back. There's that clip of Willie Green bigging CJ up saying, look, you're still CJ McCollum, just keep doing your thing. And so hopefully he can get himself right as soon as possible, because we are a better team when he plays and plays well. But you know, at the moment you can see he's trying to get himself out of this funk, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later. But I mean, been fortunate, lucky. I've been fortunate enough to not have had COVID, so I can't really comment on how it feels. But everyone that I've had reckons you have this cough that just never leaves, and your shortness of breath is ridiculous. So.
You're talking about shortness of breath for a basketball player. Like, you know, like it's not something you get over in one day. I mean, I like to joke. One of my friends called him Muddy McCollum because he's been on promethazine. Like he, you know, just to get back to himself, he's taking medicine just to get back to himself. I mean, it's gonna be a while. I mean, yeah, I think CJ carried us in the first, 15 games, right? Like, Zion got hurt, Bia got hurt. It was all on CJ's shoulders, and some of those games he won for us. I think he's earned the right to have a couple bad games.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I'm with you, and especially coming off how sick he was. But I suppose what that has done is having these people out has been the emergence of the next man up. Which, I mean, I know before the season we're like, this team's so deep, and then we saw a bit of teething issues with a few things. Oh, we need to do this, and we need to do that, and all of us are up in arms. Trade everyone. We're getting a new team. We're moving to Seattle. No, I'm just kidding. But all of a sudden you see guys like Dyson getting minutes. You see Jose Alvarado, 38 points last night. And I mean, what's that been like from your perspective, seeing these next guys really take that challenge on the chin and succeed?
I'll start with Jose. All the shots Jose took, I've seen him work on, regular threes, but I've literally seen him work on in the gym. Like that's the part we don't see as a fan, but like I've seen him repeatedly work on the same shots every day. So it didn't really surprise me that he had 38 because it was kind of conventional that he got that 38. It wasn't nothing, he wasn't off the dribble, dancing and shooting over people. No, they were catch and shoots. You overplayed or pick and roll. He's getting to the rim, free throws. It was really efficient. It was nothing out of the box. So to see him have a game like that, yeah, it's huge. But I can see how he got it. I've seen it that much. Like, oh, well, I can see how he got that. Dyson, for instance, even like I said in the article, I was not on the Dyson Daniels train. I mean, sorry for you guys, these you all sees that, listen to Lyle. My apologies.
My
Not to
heart.
say I did not to say I didn't like him. I just didn't know how he would fit with this iteration of the team. But to watch him play, like, no, he's legit smart. Like every move he makes has a reason, and it's never like out of place. I would like him to be a little bit stronger with the basketball, but as a 19-year-old rookie, okay, those are mistakes I kind of anticipate. But the other stuff that he does on a defensive end, you can't teach. I'm sorry, you just can't teach it. He attacks the re he it's he's probably, I'd say, top two rebounder on the team. He's a better rebounder than her. I would say that. But his ability to guard multiple positions allows you to be so flexible. And if he just gets I mean, he's shooting 40% clip right now on one shot a game, 1-3 a game, but it's still worthy enough when you got people like Zion, CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, Jonas Valanciunas. Like, yo, that's a workout shot. That's something you, all right, well, catch and shoot. It's a wide open three. Let's shoot it. Let's go. And if I miss it, I got those guys trying to get an offensive board. Doesn't seem like it's any worry on his back. So I can see how Dyson it fits into this iteration of the team. He's better than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think I honestly was surprised as well coming in because we see him a little bit in FIBA basketball, but that, I suppose, the under 19s or 21s, unless you go looking for it, it's not widely broadcast. So you don't get to see it unless you know it's on. So when he came out of the G League and was drafted by the Pels, I was like, yes, awesome. We've got an Aussie. Then I started, well, saw that he was in the contention for our pick and started looking into him and. Defensively looked really good. I think everyone knew that his jump shot was going to be a little bit questionable, but then when you see him now, and from all reports, he works his tail off to really improve and get better every day, which is what you want. That jump shot looks good. It's just reps, I think, at this point. I don't think there's anything broken. There's no hitch in his shot or anything like that. Working with Fred Vinson and getting that shot pretty fluid. But yeah, you've just got to be a threat out there. And when you've got guys like that, people on the scouting report see, oh, this guy's a 40% shooter, you know? So all of a sudden they're closing out and then we've got space. You just got to make one. You only got to take two and then you're 50%.
Listen, Lyle, that was a play, not the last game, the game before last that I covered. Dyson just checked in a game. It was a pick and roll, almost like a three man, and Dyson caught a left, what's it not left, elbow extended three. There was no hesitation. He just checked in. He just checked in, and he's not a shooter. And he pulls like, oh, yep, I'm shooting it. Whoa, that's a level of, like, if you play basketball, you just checked in a game. That's, and you're not like a shooter. That's not usually a shot you take. But him to take it so fluidly without any hesitation showed me like, oh no, you knew where you were going to shoot that. Like, you knew off the defensive, okay, you bagged off, cool. This is catch, this is rhythm. It was a great shot, even if he missed it. It was a good shot, even if he missed it. And he just made it. I'm like, oh wow, all right, that's different. That's different.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, like you said, you come in, you're not warm, you're not anything, you just pull the trigger straight away and splash it. I mean, all of a sudden, people have to go, oh, hang on, who's that guy? We need to close out on him and make sure that he doesn't do that again to us. Another person who's emerged this year has been, and I will continue to peddle the Paul George comparisons, Trey Murphy has been unreal. Honestly, I could see early Paul George, maybe not the handle, but I can see the bounce and I can see the 3-point shooting. I think the defense is coming. I might be clutching at straws, but Trey Murphy has been fantastic. Could you talk to Trey a bit? I mean, you don't have to agree with that Paul George take. I'm trying to make it happen.
It's okay. I'm a huge Paul George fan, but I won't agree with the Paul George. But I'd say I see Rashard Lewis. I see a ton of Rashard Lewis, the athleticism, even the Rashard Lewis that you saw in Seattle with the Supersonics, the overly athletic ability to shoot the ball and can put it on the floor and get to the basket. And will Trey, I asked Trey maybe, again, that same couple days ago about getting to the rim. Like, are you trying to dunk on people? Like, it seems like it's a point. It's not even, oh, I just want to dunk the ball. No. Like, if you're under there, you're trying to get caught. Like Trey is at the rim at all costs. Like, if it's not a three, he's not really trying to shoot a pull-up. Like, he hasn't shot really great pull-ups as it is. So it's either threes or getting to the rim. And he's so athletic. Like, the last one over Jokic, the last two over Jokic, he jumped outside the restricted area. Like, even almost towards the free throw line. He was closer to the free throw line than a restricted area. So you look at that and you're like, wait, this team's getting athletic. The Joker must hate playing the Pelicans. Like, he has to hate it. The last couple of times he's gotten posterized, he's gay. Herb caught him the first game. You lucky Herb didn't play. Herb usually plays well against the Nuggets. He usually does. It was an 18-point barrage in Denver that last year. Now, I can only follow that up with, he probably can.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
I think Herb probably missed in this game, but it was good to see the others get that shine. Like, you know, I even mentioned that Dyson is, not to keep mentioning Dyson on this pod, but Dyson is just the light skin version of Herb. Like he's the light skin Michael Jackson. Like if Herb is the dark skin Michael Jackson, Dyson is the light skin version. I mean, this team is so, I keep saying deep, but versatile. And you add a Trey Murphy that's, getting better defensively. There's so many options, Lyle. There's so many lineups that you can play. There's so, if we just play smart, I don't see us not getting at least to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, and I think that's not even a hot take or anything. I'm with you. I think that is completely reasonable. And looking through the other teams that we've faced, there's none that scare me at all. I mean, there's genuine reasons for every game that we've lost. And yeah, of course there have been some great teams who've played really well on different nights. I don't take away from, Memphis slapping us around a few games ago. They were great. And we just didn't bring the energy at all. But I think the versatility, I think, is the exact word that you raise. I think depth is a great word. We've heard that just getting hammered, but versatility, the ability to go small, the ability to go big, against Jokic. Jonas gets in foul trouble. You bring another big in who played. I thought Billy Hernan Gomez played really well on Jokic.
I believe that that game predicated Willie Hernan Gomez to play more. I mean, Jokic is a European, of course. So they play a European style basketball at Denver Nuggets. Who just won Eurobasket MVP? Like, you put him in a situation, so that's his strength to play against guys like that, where he's probably a little quicker than Jokic and can finish with either hand. Like, Billy Hernan Gomez is a walking double double. Like, anytime he plays, like, it's almost as if, like, you can just pencil it in. I mean, I don't even think he got it, but the fact that the things that he did on the basketball court just made sense against a team like the Denver Nuggets going against Jokic. I mean, the Nuggets were +2 with Jokic off the floor, but when Jokic was on the floor, when he was off the floor, oh my goodness. Like, the Pelicans just took advantage of it. Like, if we can continue to essentially stay even with starters of other teams, and I think our second line is probably the star of our team, right? And them getting more playing time right now. Naji Marshall has been amazing. I'm not gonna, like, I've been the president of Naji High for a little minute now. I think he's ascended to being a really, really good basketball player. Like, he's making the right play almost 90% of the time. Even when the play doesn't result in something that we actually want, say a missed shot or, guy bobbled the ball, it's usually not Najee's fault. Like,
Agree.
he's made the play, and he makes the right play. Even, the other night he missed a couple threes, but they were the right play. It just didn't go down. So I think the emergence of, those players, those role players getting better, and it only propels us, right? Because when guys are out, we can plug and play.
Yeah, 100% agree. And I mean, Najee, often the forgotten man on this pod, and apologies to Najee out there if you're listening. I'm sure you're not, but if you do happen to catch this, I think I've been super impressed with him this year. I mean, when he first, remember he was back in the two-way with Understand, and all of a sudden people were like, get rid of Josh Hart, he's gone. Najee's taken his spot already. And history transpired a little bit differently. But this year I think Najee's been great. I think yesterday, or I guess the Nuggets, he was like a +20 and only had 4 points but had six assists. And it's all the other stuff that you can't just write down in a lit on a box score that he does, and defends the living daylights out of it. He can advance the ball. He plays with pace. He plays tough. And I think toughness, you need to have someone on your team that is willing to just sacrifice their body at any situation, whether that's on offense, defense, and I think I'm really high on Najee this year. I've been really impressed, and he's almost impossible not to play because of what he brings.
Just another guy that's 6'6", 6'7", with the same, like, the Pels were a man. They have a type. They have a type of they have a type for sure. Like they know who they want. It's like, I think like what, five guys are from like North Carolina. And if you're not from North Carolina, you're either from you're from, you know, obviously probably a European player or some out of the country. Like you could say Jose's from Brooklyn, but he's Puerto Rican. So like he's played a FIBA style basketball. Like it's a different, the Pelicans have a type. Let's just say that. The front office has a type, and I think they found something that works, right? When you have a type, you know what works for you. Another thing about Najee, there was something that Larry Nance told me. He said Najee and Jose need to be credited with the toughness that they bring. Because I asked Larry about, you know, how our practices and, you know, does the second team beat the first team? He's like, yeah, we kind of do sometimes. But he credits the toughness of the team through Najee and Jose because they bring it at all times. Like, it's like they're the bodyguards. They're the bodyguards of the team. They're always looking to fight, which I'm cool with. I'm always cool with that.
Yeah. And what do they say? You should always practice how you intend to play. And so when you're brought in, I suppose, a secure environment, an environment that you can control, you can let it play out a little bit more. And you can let those, that I suppose, aggression, for want of a better term, come out. Because then when you come across it against other teams, you bring that with you. You can bottle it up and then channel it out straight into someone else. And, you know, we've seen that we've managed to catch teams on the back foot because of the intensity that we play in. And I think that our third quarters have almost been like our, you know, all right, we're playing now. We've given them a run. We've given the TVs all the footage that they need. These guys have done some layups. And then, bang, put the screws into them and the defense goes up to 11. The intensity goes up. That's what the word I'm looking for, the intensity. Do you feel that in the Smoothie King Center in live? Do you think that happens?
Of course, and I think they feed off it, and I really want to dedicate that towards the second team, the second unit. Like when they come in a game, it's a different tone, and it starts with Jose, of course. But I think their comfortability with each other, the way they play off each other, and everybody knows their role in a sense. It doesn't matter if Zion's on the court with them, CJ is on the court with them, Brandon's on the court with them. No, they know what they want to do. I mean, they'll get the ball to Brandon, but I think Jose and Trey and these guys, like, they know, like, we can do this without you. We don't need you. You just so happen to be here. And you're talking about Zion Williamson, CJ McCollum, or Brandon Ingram. Like, oh,
It's
okay.
those guys.
We got this. We did this before. Like, you know, the other night, what that was Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, and Jose Alvarado's first time starting together. We always thought that the 2019 draft class, Zion, Nikhil, and Jackson was going to be the, you know, pretty much the foundation of years to come. It's those guys.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And I mean, hindsight being 2020, I mean, Zion, still great pickup, but you know, unfortunately, we're looking at a couple of guys that aren't here in that draft and one who can't get a run. So it's making it even, I mean, the scales have been balanced towards this last draft because these three guys, I mean, we've got some good pieces, I tell you what. Jarrett, what have you got coming up? Have you got can you give us a little plug or a little insight into what you've got? Any stories brewing, anything working away?
Now I don't want to tell it all.
Of course not.
It's a
No, of
couple.
course not.
It's a
Magician.
couple different things that I like to look at. You know what's crazy about? I probably didn't dive deep into this part, but like working and getting access to the Smoothie King Center is meeting the people that work there. Because once you start doing that and they start knowing you by name, it's almost like they expect it, and you start to hear things from them because this is their body of work, right? Like the night Adam Silver came in, and I guess not say broke a story, but I was the first one to say that Adam Silver was going to be in the building. I heard that through one of the folks at the, that working at their arena. I knew that because of them. It wasn't that, you know, I have some inside plug or something like that. So I think that's pretty much the cool part is, you know, learning where to go and who you speak to and who do you talk to, the food, you know, served before the game. just like all these different types of conversations that can be had amongst media members, amongst people like Antonio Daniels. We talk extensively about just different things going on in the organization. We would talk football, basketball. We talked a ton of different things. So like learning where to go, where to go, and who to talk to, and where to sit, and oh, well, let's look around the arena. Let's talk to different couple people, and let's talk to some fans. I think that's probably been the best part about it, is it's not stagnant. It's ever evolving, it's ever moving. So it's been a pretty cool experience. And I think that's my next step, is writing about the Smoothie King Center.
Yeah, well, I'll be keeping an eye out for that, because like I said, you have a way with words. It's honestly really enjoyable reading your writing, and I don't just say that, but no, it is, you're really good at what you do, and I wish you had been writing earlier, honestly, because you do a really good job, and we appreciate another voice covering our team. So can you give us a shout out where we can find you, and I suppose we'll start wrapping it up. We really appreciate your time today.
No problem. So you can find me on Twitter, Conrad Reed with a K, KonRadReed 5 on Twitter. Instagram is, I believe it's the same thing. Also, Boot Crew Media, you can type that in your Safari and find us, and a ton of articles. But yeah, man, Lyle, I appreciate everything. I appreciate you letting me join the show. It's been pretty awesome talking about sports with somebody that's, you know, a day ahead of me. So, which is crazy. It's like, oh my God, I'm talking to somebody in Australia about basketball. It's 7:30 for him. It's 5:30 for me. And we're talking sports. If this isn't like the connectivity of life, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And I think that's the one thing that there's many things that I like, but it's one of the main things I like, is being able to talk to people on the other side of the world that, you know, have the same interests as me, and, you know, talk about it.
Wait, Lyle, you're a Duke fan?
Not necessarily. I'm just...
I saw Duke basketball.
I went through a phase where I, got a whole heap of different signed basketballs, and that one was cheap. It was Jabari Parker. So we got that at the time. Yeah, there's a few good ones. I don't know who I support in college basketball. It's not really on here much, and when it is, it's on at like bizarre times, like 3 a.m. So I've never really got into it.
I appreciate your dedication. For you to watch basketball on the other side, NBA basketball in general, from the other side of the world, and understand what's going on and still be engaged, that's pretty impressive, man. Like, we were on spaces, you had to be at work at that time, I guess. Like, you had to be doing something.
Well, sometimes, yeah. I mean, there's definitely times where it'll be in a lunch break, or it'll be, there was one where we had, when the CJ McCollum trade happened at lunchtime, like US time. So that was 1 a.m. And I woke up like randomly, and I was like, it was like that Madeline scene, Miss Clavel sits up, something's not right. And it was the big trade went down. I was on spaces at 1:30 in the morning. But to tell you what, that day was a bit of a write-off. But, you know, that's the, I suppose, the pull of fandom of the NBA, the NBA's ability to reach different parts of the world. I mean, it's an American league that is really global. And you can see when you've got your own people in there, like Dice and other Australians. There's a record number of Australians in the NBA at the moment. And, you know, it makes it easy to cheer. And you can see the NBA jerseys around, and there's the kids that are all walking around with the jerseys on. They did have Ben Simmons. That's changed a little bit. But, you know, a few Dysons, you know, out and about. So, yeah, LeBron James apparently works in every single corner of Australia because everyone's got his jersey on. It really is a global game. And, you know, this is what it's about. It's about the community and about, you know, chatting with different people and getting different perspectives on a team that we all love. So, Garrett, with that being said, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure, and no doubt we'll have to have you on again sometime, and we'll chat Pels, and a couple of weeks I'll be over there, and we'll have to catch up see what's going on over on in your neck of the woods.
If you're here in a couple of weeks, I don't know if you drink, but I will buy you a drink.
Oh,
or drinks.
Spoiling me. Well, Well, yeah, wait, in the brackets, S in the bracket,
Yeah, I don't know.
yeah.
I had to be sure. It is commonplace when someone, that you've met and they come to a place that you know of, you purchase a drink for them. So, a drink on me, sir.
Oh, I appreciate that, mate. We look forward to that, and we'll be able to do this in person, chat
For
pills,
sure.
and we'll get it done. But thank you so much, and guys, this has been the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm your host, Lyle Swithenbank, joined by Jarrett Reed at Ethos Pelicans at Lyle Swithenbank. Stay safe, and of course, bye for now.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.